It's Lucy Litch, and this is Tiny House Conversations. It's the Australian-based podcast where I interview experienced tiny houses, tiny builders, and adventurers in the tiny world so you can discover how to create, build, and transition into tiny life. Hey, it's Lucy, and welcome back to another episode of Tiny House Conversations. On the show today for the second time is Marie Beringer, who is a tiny houser originally from France but is living in Auckland, New Zealand. Marie built her tiny house 5 years ago and loved it so much that she changed her career and recently became a fully qualified carpenter. She's currently building a shepherd hut with her best friend and documenting every step on her YouTube channel, giving building tips and sharing the failures as well. The goal is for people to see that woodwork and building is not that hard and everyone can give it a crack. Now, Marie was on the show back in episode 24, and to me, her DIY story is really inspiring, and I've asked her to come back on the show for some real talk and share more about her experiences with some of the realities of tiny house living. And in this conversation, we talk about some realities of living in a small space, what it's really like to manage your own resources like power, water, and toilets, some challenges when it comes to growing food and how sometimes it just doesn't happen. We also talked about something I haven't mentioned on the show before, and that's dating when living in a tiny home, and so much more. Now, I'll put a link in the show notes at tinyhouseconversations.com for episode 24 if you haven't gone and listened to that yet. Now, on to this tiny house conversation with Marie. Marie, welcome back to Tiny House Conversations. It's so great to have you here again.
Thank you for having me, Lucy. I'm really happy to be here.
Marie, you were on the show back in episode 24, I believe it was, and so it was like the end of 2022, and I've invited you back because today we're going to be talking about some of the realities of tiny house living, some of those things that maybe people don't get to see behind the scenes. They see all the rainbows and butterflies and the ideal life and all of this stuff, but that's not the full story. So I know we're going to get into that today. But first, I would just love to know what's been happening with you, if there's anything that you want to share since we last spoke. So end of 2022, it's been a little over a year now. What have you been up to?
I was doing my apprenticeship as a carpenter. And just last November, I finished it. So I'm a qualified carpenter now, which is very exciting. Yeah, it's been 3 years. I think going back to study when you over 30 is a bit challenging. I don't need to work full time. I just locked myself into the shed and I'm starting to build a shepherd's hut with my best friend. So that's what I've been doing, which is really, really cool. But yeah, it's just something new, uncomfortable as well. But yeah, I'm having a lot of fun just again, yeah, not comfortable. I don't know why I'm trying to like do something new all the time. I could just like stay in a job and enjoy my life. I have to be like, oh, what can I build? That's very complicated. So yeah, I've been doing this. And I think apart from that, yeah, just I'm still in my tiny house and still enjoying life in a tiny house.
I think just what you said there, similar to what we were talking about offline before we started recording, it's like you're doing something new and it's like this expression of your own creativity, right? And something that, again, we said this before, like it can get lost in this world that we're living in now when it's about productivity and achieving and striving and maybe missing that creative part of ourselves.
Yeah, I agree with you. It's crazy how, I don't know for you, but when I was building my tiny house, I was thinking of maybe leaving a normal job and, you know, having a life that's a little bit slower. And now that I'm in my tiny house, it's just everything is even going faster. I'm not slowing down at all. But also because, yeah, as you said, like you do feel guilty not being productive and maybe like spending some time trying to be bold or creative or that kind of thing is not really valued. So yeah, it's a bit of a strange thing, but yes, what I really like to do though is always trying to make myself uncomfortable, because this is where you learn. If you're comfortable in your field or things like this, you're not really learning anything. So I've been a pro at being uncomfortable and starting over again and just be bad at something until you get better. But yeah. So it makes me feel like you're terrible, but actually you can do a lot of things at the end of the day. So yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's having that beginner's mindset, I think, too, because often I know for me, it's like if I'm learning something new, it's like, okay, I want to be good at it now. I want to know how to do it now. But actually then you miss all the steps along the way that you have for learning from those mistakes and having the experience and just going through that journey and that process. Yeah. And something that I was realizing when you were talking before about how some, you know, feeling maybe guilty for not achieving or being productive and all of that, I'm wondering if maybe on some level, just living in your tiny house has then allowed you to not have to step fully into that working the 9-to-5 job and actually take, and you know, you said you're not having to work full time now, right? So yeah. It's even though you're doing stuff all the time, you're doing stuff that you love and you're not going to a job that maybe is something that's not in full alignment for you. So then you actually have the space to explore these other things and learn these new skills and then expand as a human, really. Which can only be a good thing. So, I think there's nothing wrong with being busy while you're living tiny, but just doing it in a more intentional way and doing it in a way that with things that you're maybe a bit passionate about.
Yeah, you have to take the time to be present. Like, it's just, again, you can't just have everything you want and then think you're going to be happy. You have to learn to be present. And otherwise, yeah, I do feel guilty if I don't do anything productive, especially because I don't have a full-time job. Like if I spend a day not doing anything that I can say or can write on my little journal, I've done this today, I do feel guilty. And it's such a luxury, as you said, that to have the opportunity to explore and do what you actually want. And yeah, you can be caught in just being really unhappy and guilty about like not doing enough. But yeah, you do just need to be present and just slow down, which is, I don't know, I think maybe it's harder for women as well. I don't know if I'm starting a new debate, but we always need to be busy and just do stuff, and we tend to feel guilty about everything all the time.
Yeah, I do know what you mean. I think there's this societal thing of, you know, the rise of the woman and empowering women and, you know, doing all the things that men can do and all of that. And then also looking after the family and just that type of stuff. So I totally know what you mean. Maybe it's controversial to some people, maybe not, but that's okay.
Yeah.
It's a conversation that can be had. And so I mentioned before we were going to, you know, talk about some of the realities of tiny house living. So I would love to dive into that with you. And the first one, I feel, just as an obvious thing, is you're living in a smaller space, right, with a tiny home. You're living in a smaller space than maybe you were used to before. So just naturally with that smaller space is going to come different kinds of adjustments, whether it's in being able to store things or having enough space for certain things that you might used to do before, or even having people over. So is there anything you can share from your own experience around that, just simply living in a smaller space, some of the maybe challenges or realities that you've navigated in this whole time you've been living tiny?
Yeah, so it's been really good because you get to design the space how you want it, but you also change with time. So something that would have worked for you 2 years ago might not work for you anymore. But so far, it's been for the space, it's been okay for me because I do have a shed next to my house where I can just put all of my stuff for my new hobbies. One thing that I would maybe recommend for people is one thing that is annoying but looks really cool is like something that you can transform into 5 things, like a bed that can turn into a couch and a table and blah, blah, blah. It's cool, but you really don't want to have to fold it into a different type of furniture or that kind of thing is a little bit annoying. Apart from that, if you made a space that's just for you, and or if you have to share it, like I know my mom is going to come soon for a few weeks. I don't know how this is going to go because obviously she's going to have to share the space with me. So it is like when you've got friends over or that kind of stuff, it can be a bit difficult. But apart from that, if you really thought about your design when you were building your tiny house, usually it's not too annoying. But again, you can always expand. Like I've got an outdoor space now, and yeah, I think everyone should have a shed with a tiny house. Another advice. But yeah, so far, so good for the space.
I agree with you. I think having the not having to fit every single thing in your tiny home, because then if you did, not everything might have a place. And if you've got hobby, like I know your shed, you've got a bit of, it's a workshop for you as well, right, where you build things. Can you imagine if you tried to do that inside your tiny house? It just wouldn't be possible. And it's, I think it's nice to also have a dedicated space for like living and then doing those other extracurricular things or the passions or the hobbies like outside. And how long have you lived in your tiny house now again?
Like I think for 4 years, probably 4 years now.
Yeah.
For a while.
Yeah, yeah. Wow. Four years. Still going strong.
Yeah. Yeah. It's so long.
Yeah. I know. Time flies when you're living tiny. Yeah. And you're working on creative projects.
Exactly.
I love how you said how, you know, especially because you DIY built your tiny home with the help of friends, and you can design your life around, or you can design your home around your life and where you spend the most time and all of that kind of stuff. But actually, if you're also growing at the same time, maybe at some point you do sort of go, maybe I need this now, or maybe this wasn't necessary the way that I built it in. Like you use the space and you have a bit more experience and you get to see, oh, actually this is probably not necessary, or maybe I would move this here. And I know for me personally, when I didn't build my tiny home, but when I went through the design process, because it took maybe 2 or 3 months or something, and then by the time the tiny started getting built, it was like another few months later. And I even feel like for myself, in that time, even before it started getting built, I'd actually, some of my needs had changed already.
Yeah.
And that's not going to be true for everyone. It could be. For some people, it might not be. And then now that I've lived in it for over a year now, I'm like, actually, there's some things I would do differently. So, but you also make what you make do with things. And I'm sure you're the same. You're talking about having multi purposes for different things, having to put things away, take them out, put things away, take them out. But you just kind of get used to that. At least that's what I've found. It's not so convenient as it was before, but there's something also satisfying about everything having its own place. Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree totally with you. Yes, there's things that you would change, but you do get used to pretty much anything. So it's okay, but it's nice to be really aware of your environment and what you need before you design it. And I think there's not a book that tells you like, oh, just look at what you do in the morning for your breakfast, and just small things. Like I know my grandma has like a literal, like a basket with everything she needs in it. She take it and she put it on a table, like all the jam and things like this. And you just want a space when you don't have to like get like your stuff in every cupboard. You just want something quite fast and efficient. And it's nice to just be really aware and just be like, oh, I went to a friend and they do that in the kitchen, or they've got like a breakfast bar, or, and just like taking a few years, I reckon like a few years is nice to just explore different design and be like, oh, I want this in my house. And then I don't know, have a Pinterest board, and you change your mind all the time. I don't know how many times, and I was saving for 5 years before I started to build. The design of the house changes 30 times before I knew what I really wanted. But yeah, it does, like it's three or 2 months, like you said, is really short to get it right. But yeah.
Exactly. And the other thing is that you learn to adapt anyway. Like even though there were some things for me where I already knew I would have done differently by the time it was built, and then by the time it got delivered and then living in it, I was like, well, you know what? If this means that I can still live in my tiny home, and there's something that maybe I would have done differently, that's not a big deal. Like it's still amazing. Like, and even just the inconveniences of putting things away, pulling them out again and again and again. Like if that means that I can still live in my tiny house, it's a really small price to pay, you know.
It's all right.
It's not a big deal.
Yeah. I agree. The space or whatever you have, the space you've got is not a huge annoying point of tiny house. Again, you adapt, and then you can also change stuff if you need to. But I reckon that's I'm okay with that kind of inconvenience. I guess if there's something that I would change, I'm like, well, it's okay. So that's probably like the least of the bad stuff, living in a tiny house. Yes. You adapt into a small space. I don't know why people complain.
Yes. I know. It comes back to, I think, that convenience culture as well as the culture of buying so many things and having so many material items and probably 80% of them not being used, you know, and then having a place to like store all of that in a really big home. So yeah, I think it's just a different mindset and a different way of being, different way of living. But it's it's so much more spacious in all the ways. Like it's a physically smaller space, but it's a mentally it's mentally more spacious, right?
Yeah, that's a very good way of putting it. Like you just got more space in your head.
Yeah. In your head and in your life too, right? Like what you were saying before, you don't have to work full time now. You've got more space to do other things that are more important to you and that you love and explore your passions and your creativity. So I think it's a trade-off and it's well worth it. And I know that another thing, and I've, you know, just from speaking to different people and even my own experiences, something that can be a bit of a transition for some people when going tiny is using resources in a different way. And I know that last time you and I spoke, you talked a lot about it. And I still remember this because I think it was powerful, not outsourcing these things to someone else. Like, why should it be up to someone else to collect, to provide water for me and to provide energy for me? So I know that you're off grid and you've got your solar. Have you still got your home biogas system that you're using as well?
I do.
So I'm wondering just have you got any experience to share or even any mishaps that have happened around managing and navigating and living with those resources? I'm sure you've got plenty.
Yeah.
Anything that you want to share? Yeah.
Yeah. I could write a book, but definitely I tend to be a procrastinator with a lot of stuff, especially if I don't want to do it. But maintaining all of those systems is a lot of work. And I feel like also I'm alone. So if I'm building this shepherd's hut with my best friend, and as soon as she's here, everything goes so fast. Like when you're with someone, everything is so easy. When you're by yourself, something that you thought would take you 2 hours take you the entire day, and then you didn't even eat. You know what I mean? Like it's actually quite challenging. So story of my life. And if I've got a day off, I don't necessarily want to like fix a pump. So sometimes things get a bit neglected, but because you've got a solar system, I have to go and clean my solar panels on the roof. So that's like a morning or an afternoon for my water system. I've got rainwater on the roof of my shed. And so I can see now grass coming out of the gutter. So I'm going to have to like eventually go and clean those gutters. That's going to be another day. for my digester the other day, I was with a friend outside and I can hear a noise. It's something really funny about me now because I've got like different pumps and like system and things that are making different noises. I'm very, I don't know, very aware. If there's a noise I don't know, I start to panic. so I'm like, she's like, I can't hear anything. I'm like, there's a pump that's working right now. Like it's just very faint, but that pump shouldn't be working for more than 10 seconds. So I've got an in-sinkerator in my sink and I put all of my leftovers, compost, whatever, and it goes into my digester. But in between, there's like a macerating pump that just grinds everything down. And if it works, if it doesn't stop, that means it's blocked. So I was like, I just turn it off and I'm like, I'll just deal with this next week. But I've got a pump to deal with. And yeah, heaps of things like this, like stuff that gets stuck or things like this. So I've been talking to a really good friend of mine. He used to be really into permaculture and just be almost self-sufficient with his food. But then he moved away from where he was, and he's like, now he doesn't even want to take care of the garden in his new house. It's his flatmate that are doing it. He said, I don't want to grow tomato. It was really fun when I was doing it, but it takes so much time out of your life, and it can be so convenient to just go and buy that stuff. I've got time now to like be creative and do other things. So I went extreme, really extreme with everything I've been doing. I'm not regretting it. Like this is, for me, it's super important because I get to learn different things and how hard it is. Now I feel like we do need to find a balance between what you can do yourself and also having a social life. That's just what I like to do. I wouldn't recommend it to a lot of people. Maybe if you've got like a few friends or a community or people around you that can help, but everything that I do just for myself, it is a lot of work to try to maintain everything. And often something is not working, it's not going to work for a few weeks before I do anything about it. I love it. I really wouldn't change it, but it is, you really have to think about, you know, how much time you want to put in and how much it brings you. But it is an interesting, I don't know, interesting path to follow and see what you want to do, what you actually don't want to do. And also, like, now if I, let's say I'm not going to do it, but if I sell my tiny house and go back to like a normal life in a normal house, I'll be like so thankful each time I flush the toilet. I'm going to be like, wow, like, thank you, whoever's taking care of this. But it's just, yeah, you're more grateful now. If you had to hunt for your food or grow your own food, you would be so thankful when you go to the supermarket. So it's a little bit of a reality check. But yeah, very interesting for sure.
There's so much to learn as well. And I think that there is something to be said about having to manage all these things yourself and actually learn how everything works. And again, like what you said in the last episode of not outsourcing it means that you have more connection to it and you have more connection to just the workings of your life. And yes, it does take time and it maybe it's not going to be for everyone if someone's going to be in a full-time job or they've got kids or whatever it might be. But I know for me, it's been such a big learning experience and I'm grateful that I haven't had any issues with solar and actually it's really sunny for it's amazing. Even during the winter, it's been sunny for like pretty much all year that I've been here. There's only been, I haven't even had to use the generator, but I can imagine that. And I know some people that have had issues with like running out of power and stuff like that too. But it's been really fascinating to just like learn how different things work. And actually for me, and maybe you can relate to this, it also reminds me, and it comes back to that gratitude you were talking about before for water and food and other things. Noticing how much I'm using of everything and actually making me be much more mindful, right? I was having this conversation with someone that I was interviewing the other day. We're talking about the composting toilets and how much water we're flushing away in the sewer, you know, as a collective, like, can you imagine how many people around the world even? That is so much water. And so for me, I love it that mentally, and I think just in all the ways, really, it feels good for me that I'm not participating in that, at least when I'm in my own home. Yes, okay, when I go to other people's homes, I don't have any judgment at all. I'm just like, this is weird. I'm so not used to this anymore. And then I'm like, wow, again, it's just the gratitude that you're talking about. Again, with the resources, it's just this way of, again, just learning to live a different way, and it maybe can take a bit longer, but there's also, again, something satisfying about it for me. Just like we were talking about before, if everything has its place, also just having that deeper connection to nature and where everything comes from and that appreciation. And have you had any issues with, like, running out of power or anything like that? Any stuff happen with your solar system?
Just the power turning off sometimes. I remember I went away for a few days and it just stopped working and I had stuff in my fridge, so it was a bit annoying. But apart from that, I've got a hybrid inverter. That means I can just plug to the grid anytime. So in winter, I just plug my house in, and in summer, I'm on solar. Actually, I need to turn it off now. but yes, it's just another thing on my list to cross. But yes, I haven't had a problem just because I've got like a hybrid inverter, which is a little bit more expensive. Yeah. But I would, if people are a bit scared of the solar system that you've got is a bit small because you couldn't afford more, you can just have a hybrid inverter and you can plug or go on solar, which is, really nice.
Yeah, you can have options for, you know, all contexts or seasons or whatever it
exactly,
is.
Exactly. Yeah, but definitely, as you said, pick your battles. I think you choosing solar and you said composting toilet is probably enough for one person.
Yes.
I think that's already really good because you have to be good at everything, and you always a little bit, if I leave my house, I'm always a little bit worried. There's something in, like, I don't know if I talked to you about my toilet before, but my toilet is, it's a boat toilet and it goes into my digester as well. But the thing is, I don't know how wide a plumber installed it this way, but when you turn, when you flush the toilet, I have to open the water and then I press the button and it flushes the toilet. But then you have to turn the water off. Otherwise, it overflows from the toilet. And I'm my worst fear is to leave the house without closing the tap and just coming back to like a flooded house.
Oh, no.
So yeah, trying to pick your friend and pool, and yeah, at the end of the day I'm like, oh, I don't know about this. But if I would change something about my system, it would probably just switch to composting toilet, because I do have a composting toilet outside and it's just so nice. I don't know, I just like, first of all, being outside is really nice when you've got a composting toilet outside. But I don't know, like my friend was pointing it at me. She lives in the city, but she has a shed outside her house with a composting toilet in it.
Oh, cool.
Like it's just so weird to just flush the toilet or poo in water that you have that is drinkable. Yeah. She's like, I don't know why we're using water. Why do we have to use water for this? It's just so weird. Mm. And she's got a point. Like, it's actually just so nice not to use water at all.
It's true. Yeah. It's so true. I know. Oh, look, I'm not shy about having poo conversations. That's another thing, you know, I think a lot of tiny house people have certain stories or experiences they've had with close encounters with all of that stuff, right? Yeah. I definitely have.
Yeah.
I have. And even in the way, because I've got I would probably do this differently next time, but I've got a self-contained composting toilet, which has probably worked out good for my situation just because, and this is something I'll share. I won't share it now because there's still stuff happening. I will share on the podcast at another time, but yeah. That there's some changes happening for me in where I'm parked at the moment. And so it's actually worked out better that I haven't had to cut a hole in the floor and have a chamber underneath. Yeah. And just having it all in here and then just managing it in an external wheelie bin, which is the way that I've been creating the compost. But
yeah,
because it's a self-contained, I come really close with all that stuff. And sometimes I just laugh at some of the things that have happened. You can just imagine, right? Like, and stuff that I've never had to do before. But I don't care about that stuff. Like, and I think maybe it's not going to be for everyone, because I know some people get grossed out or whatever. But I'm just like, this is my own, like, organic matter, right? Like, yeah. It came from me.
Yeah.
Like, why is there, like, this weird, funny taboo or something around it? It's like what you said last time, too, about outsourcing it to someone else. It's like taking that self-responsibility for your own stuff.
Yeah.
And I think actually having a self-contained toilet has helped me become even less sensitive to that. Like, it's just normal. Yeah. Like, it's just something that I do once a week and it's just my life, and it takes about half an hour, the whole process of cleaning and everything. And I'm just like, so, and there's something satisfying about that too. So, but yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you want to, if it's too much or if you want to share any funny things that have happened. Like, you don't have to go into full on detail, but if you had like close encounters or anything, or funny things happen.
Just apart from being really scared of flooding my house, do you just remember the first time you had to use composting toilet? You were probably like, what is this? Like, ooh. So yeah. I understand people that are the same. They're like, what? But then now you go to normal toilet and you poo in water. I'm like, this is just so strange to me now. Like, this is strange. Like, everyone is like, it's normal. I'm like, this is not normal.
I know.
Yeah, but your perception it's so changed. True. But you're being like, this is disgusting, like, just flush the toilet, we don't want to see it anymore, blah blah. No one is like teaching kids like, this is how you do it, this is the composting, this is blah blah, food for the worm, and then put it in the garden or an orchard. No one ever teaches you that too much as you grow as a kid. It's just something gross that you don't want to have to deal with.
Yes, I know. Out of sight, out of mind. Again, it's that outsourcing and that convenience thing. And you mentioned before with your friend, you were talking about the permaculture and the self-sufficiency with food and everything. So what has that experience like been for you in terms of like having a garden and trying to grow things, in any, again, challenges or mistakes or mishaps or funny things that might have happened?
I give up on the garden. So I went on holiday I was trying really hard, but also I think I started with not a greatest ground. It was like a garden that was already there when I was where I packed my tiny house, there was a garden, really overgrown. But the thing is, the ground wasn't great, so it wasn't working that well. Everything was going into seed pretty quickly. And I went away for 3 months, and when I came back, it was just, yeah, too hard to start from scratch. And also, because it was my last year of my apprenticeship, I had a lot of exams and things like this. So I was like, yeah, it's going to be another year trying, like, not this one, but maybe next year. But yeah, I haven't done anything garden-wise. I'm just waiting for somehow the right time. I'm waiting for a sign from somewhere, or like maybe a permaculture course before I try again. Because it's not like building. Building, you have to read about stuff and you do it. Gardening, I'm more like, I'll do it and hopefully it works. But this is not how it works. But yeah, I give up on the garden. But eventually one day, just pick my battles. Yeah.
I can relate to that too, because before living tiny, I'd never grown anything ever. I'd always bought from the farmers markets usually, or the health food store, for such a long time. And actually most places that I lived in didn't really have a garden, so I didn't really, maybe there was like one or two places I can think of, but I just was never into that at the time. And so now I can relate to that. I'm just like, I've done some online course thingies, or I've watched videos online, but it is always this experimentation and this learning, because I'm like, I don't even really know what I'm doing. Like, yes, I'd listen to what people have said, and, you know, but it's still putting it into practice. And then there's so many variables too, with climate and weather conditions and soil and all of that too. So yeah, I hear you. I've kind of given on up on that a little bit for now too. I think it's something that I'll pick back up later, but yeah. I hear you.
We've got time.
And look, probably also, I look at the landowner here that I live on, her property, and she's been out here for maybe 5 years at this point, and she's grown a lot of stuff, but she's still doing permaculture courses, and there's things that she's been doing for years and years, she's still learning things that she's putting into practice. And it's like, oh, now this is actually helping, or these things are actually growing when they weren't growing before. So I think it's just always an evolution, and there's always things to learn. Yeah,
agreed. Like, the only thing I'm doing is I do have an orchard, and for like the past 2 years, nothing really grew, but it's already there. Sorry, they're trees, but there wasn't any fruit for some weird reason, and I had to prune a lot of them. I knew there was something about pruning help fruit trees to grow fruit, but I didn't really read into it. I was like, there's probably a science to which branch you have to cut. But basically, I just cut most of them. And then this year, like, I've got fruit everywhere, apples and plums and things like this. So I've been doing this, like, I don't know, pies or tart or jam. So that's my kind of gardening.
That's great.
Yeah, it is. It is great. Yeah, again, no idea. I think I watched a couple of YouTube videos on trying to like get fruit from fruit trees, and I was like, yeah, I give up. I'll just do another time.
That's great that you got some this time, though. Yeah.
Yeah.
The only thing that I have successfully grown here, like in terms of food, is okra. I had no idea what I was doing, and somehow like they just did so well. And then like I've tried to grow carrots and beetroot, a few other things, and yeah, just not really happening. So I was like, not sure what I did differently with the okra. Yeah. But it's inspiring to hear about your growing the orchard and the growing the fruit and that you're making things out of it too. So that's really awesome. And yeah. And also, so you're in Auckland, right? So I know that it can get, just with the weather and the climate and all of that, you can get really cold winters. I don't know what your summers are like at the moment. I think it's different. It's changing everywhere with all that's happening.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering for you about just living in a tiny house and managing the seasons and all kinds of different weather. Because I know for me, I've had floods here. We haven't had bushfires, but we've had bushfire scares. Oh. And then there's heavy winds and just all that stuff. And my tiny's actually endured all of that. So I wonder how you've managed that in terms of the seasons, and then also just heating and cooling in your tiny house. How that has been for you.
I think because the tiny house is higher, we've had a lot of floods here for sure. And all the houses around actually they've been flooded as well, which is super sad. Like, a lot of houses in Auckland. And because I'm higher, I'm fine. And again, like, really, really strong winds as well. But usually tiny houses are designed to go on the road, so that's fine. But you just more worried. Nothing happens, but if I heard about floods and I was in France when it happens, I think it was last in February, 2 years ago, just time flies. And yeah, I was in France and I saw on the news like water everywhere. And the shed got flooded a little bit, but not too much, just a little bit of water at the entrance. But yeah, I was just really scared. In my head, I don't know, I've got nothing else but my house. Just I build it. You're just so attached. It's not just anyone's house, I guess. So you're a bit scared of everything. If there's a lot of wind, I'm like, the house is going to fly away. Like something bad is going to happen. So you're more scared of everything, but nothing bad is happening. And for the heating and cooling, because it's a small space, it's so easy to heat, but it's really hard to keep it cool. So hard.
Yeah. Agreed. I think I remember you in your Living Big in a Tiny House video that you use your oven to heat, don't you? Yeah. Well, I learned that from you. With my tiny house, I don't have any kind of heating, like I haven't got a heater or anything like that. And I was like, I'm just going to try it when it was like really cold here. And so I haven't had to do anything other than like sometimes I would turn my oven on like what you did. And I was like, well, yeah, that works a treat because it's not, yeah, having to heat up such a large space anymore. So it's actually true. Fine.
Yeah.
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 We've got a good saying with my best friend. She's French, so I don't know if it translates really well. When there's a situation, you don't know if it's like, what do you call this? It's precarious or innovative. You don't know.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, oh, fashionable or precarious?
I know.
Like, I'm not sure.
Now for a quick break from the podcast. Question for you. Have you got a burning question about tiny house living? Here's my personal invitation to you to ask a question you might have been wondering when it comes to living in a tiny house or creating your dream tiny life. I'd love to feature your question on the show in an upcoming episode and share my answer or even get another expert to answer if there's someone better suited in the same episode as well. To submit your question, head over to tinyhouseconversations.com/voicemail and leave me a 90-second or less voice message there. Okay, let's get back to the show. It's going to be different for everyone. Like, yeah, for me where I am, it's not, you know, it's not minus however many degrees
exactly
in winter. So that probably wouldn't cut it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd imagine that other parts of the world or even, yeah, yeah. I'm like, oh, cool. Like, I'll just do that and it's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know why, like, tiny house living. I'm always like saying this thing with my best friend, like, oh, precarious, so innovative. Like, I know I need to, I need to change my pump for my, not my pump, my water for the filter. No, sorry, the filter for the water.
Yeah, yeah.
I need to change my filter for the water because it's already, I think it's too dirty now. And, but it's still filtering. It's just that the water pressure is really low. And because the water pressure is really low, I've got hot water, but after 2 minutes, there's not enough pressure and the califon doesn't turn on. So whatever, it's good because then I have short shower until the water gets cold and you just have to turn it off and turn it back on. The hot water is back. But I'm like, this is like really good to actually have short showers or like cold showers. So I'm always like, oh, innovative,
yes,
or precarious?
Yes.
Just every day is like, I can ask myself this question.
Yeah. Yeah. And maybe on some level it makes you a little bit more resourceful too. It's like, yeah, what do I have here that I can make use of in a different way or something, you know?
Yeah, you do. You get really good at solving problems. So good,
yes,
at it. Before, like,
yeah,
of anything in my life, why do I fix this? No idea. I need to call somebody. But now I'm like, oh, yeah, yeah, ideas. And it's like a gymnastic for your brain. It's actually so nice. You don't really realize because it's a slow change in your life that you get more and more, I don't know, innovative or you can fix problems. But it's such a cool skill to have, which I'm sure I didn't have before I started building.
I'm always curious. I feel like I haven't talked about this much on the podcast. It might have like been mentioned briefly in some episodes. Because I mean, I know that you're like living there, it's just you. And then for me, I'm living here, it's just me. And so when I was designing my tiny house and having it built, I thought about, well, what is it that I need right now? It's just me. So I'm kind of just going to build a space and design a space around that.
Yeah.
One of the things I did realize at some point, and I don't know if this is something that you can relate to or you've thought about, I'm like, I wish I would have maybe made it a bit bigger or done things a little bit differently, had more storage. And look, I've gone on dates while I've been living in my tiny house. So that's very interesting. And then I've thought about, like, you know, having a partner and family, kids maybe at some point too.
Yeah.
And then that sort of made me go, well, I haven't really designed my house for that. And not that you can future-proof for every single situation that you go through. Some people will know straight away. Like, I know I've watched different episodes of Living Big, or I've spoken to different people and they're like, no, I knew that I was going to definitely do this in a few years, so I accounted for that. I feel like I didn't do that, and I sort of wish in some way that I did maybe account for that. What's your experience or your sort of mindset around that? Or are you just sort of someone that's more just like, okay, I'm just present here and I'm just going to live and design as what I need now, and then I'll figure out the rest later, you know, whether that's maybe building, like extending your tiny home, whether that's building a completely new one, whether that's adding things to the outside, or what's your mindset around all of that?
So same as you, I really build it for myself. I wasn't thinking too much about what's happening next, only because I needed to make it as small as possible for, I don't know, it needed to be easy for me to build. So I was like, I'm just going to make it really small and we see. I did have a partner when I finished the tiny house. I met someone. Didn't last too long, but also like so challenging in this tiny house because it was, I don't know if it's because of the space or if I'm just annoying, but like he would leave his keys not where it was designed to put his keys and I would just lose it. Like, why do you put your keys here? There's a box for the So it was really annoying because like it feels like, I think if people want to understand it, it would be like, imagine you're a teenager. So you've got your room in your parents' house and you design it, not design it, but you've got your poster, like everything has its own place. It's just your personal space. And then someone just moves in. This is how it feels. I was like, oh no, it's just not going to work. I'm sorry. But yeah, it just doesn't really, well, you can future-proof it to a certain point, but I think it depends on your goal as well. My goal was just to learn how to build a tiny house, or it can be like to start living tiny and then you can find someone with a tiny house too, like
TYO.
Yeah, exactly. Bring on.
Me too.
yeah. And why not? And I was like, if I meet someone, the idea, I'm just going maybe too far here, but I'm like, oh, I'm just going to find someone, we're going to build a house together. He's going to be a builder and cute and we can build a bigger house. But it is designed for me and I'm like, I can sell it or I can just have it. I don't know if I've got kids one day, like I always have something, but I feel like it's never a waste of time, I guess, to just have a tiny house that's maybe not designed for the future. And you don't have to, as you said, you really don't have to future-proof everything. And yeah, you can, life changes all the time. Something that I've learned, sadly, is that your life, you never get somewhere and that's it. My life is done now. Like I've got everything I want. It's never going to change. I made it. I've seen so many, especially, I don't know why now, but in my family or my friends, women that are a bit older that just get divorced, not lose everything, but they had a life, they had everything, and it was kind of like or close to retirement, and then suddenly their life is completely different. So I'm always like, don't think you're going to get somewhere and just kind of rest on what you've got, because your life is going to throw something that's very uncomfortable at you. So I'm never like, okay, I'm going to build all of those things, and once I've got everything, I'm good. I might have to sell my house and live in the car. Like, not that it's not going to happen, but I'm always like, it doesn't matter because I don't have to upgrade to like maybe a bigger house and a future-proof and blah, 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 because I know I might just go back in what I thought was life after 30. I don't know if you had an idea of what your life was supposed to be, but you're always like, yeah, I'm climbing up the stairs, my life is getting better, I get everything I want, blah, blah, blah. But you might just go right back down and you just better get used to it because it's so uncomfortable. So I'm like, I'm living in my tiny house. It's really small, might not be enough for two, and that's okay. I might build bigger. I might just have to live in a normal house. So I'm trying not to be too worried about it, but I completely get what you're saying. I wasn't planning too far ahead. And yeah, I don't know what like the dating thing is going to be eventually, but funny story, like I had a few dates and guys that were asking me like, oh, I really want to see your tiny house, blah, blah, blah. We could have a date in your tiny house. And I'm like, nah, this is just my place. Like no one's coming. Yeah. It's my little sanctuary. Like go away.
Yeah.
I don't know
it's
for you.
It's your safe space. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, well, look, I resonate with a lot of what you're saying, and it's funny, but I don't know if it has something to do with the under-the-radar conversation. I haven't actually had that many people out there. Like here, I've had a few friends, and I did have a guy that I was dating for a while, for a couple of months, which also didn't work out. But, yeah, I totally know what you mean. I don't know if it's something about just it's your own little space and to have someone in here. Not, and I'm totally open to having that, but it's like, yeah. I don't know. There's something that you can't, it's intangible. Like it's hard to explain. It's just this feeling. I guess you'll only know if you're actually, you're doing it right. So I totally know exactly what you mean. I think that I also had this mindset too of like, well, you know, if things change, it is something that I could have within my family. Or like you said, I could sell it, or, you know, all sorts of things. And I know there's a lot of people that they might start living in their tiny initially, long term, and then their situation changes, whether it is maybe they were single at the beginning, then they met someone, and then, well, they had kids, and then it's like, okay, well, maybe we'll move into a bigger home and maybe use this as an Airbnb, or like there's many people that I can think of that have done that. So there's so many different things that you can still do. And I suppose it's, think of the tiny home as an asset, just like, you know, other things that we have too. Like it is really an asset. And, yeah, life is going to change sometimes, and that's okay.
You have to be flexible and not be scared, because I'm always scared of heaps of stuff, and I'm like, oh, I shouldn't be scared. Just it's what happened, what needs to happen is going to happen anyway. So, if you're stressed or scared about it, you're just going to think about it all day, things like this. But, yeah, it is really hard. Also, I don't know, do you think – I've got a question now. Do you think it would be harder to date knowing that you've got a tiny house because you've got like a different life than maybe someone that lives in a normal house with flatmate? It's very common now anyway. You're not really like an outsider, but I don't know. I've got my own space. I guess I'm happier. I've got my own life. And now for someone else to fit in that life, it's going to be a bit difficult for that person. I'm not close to anything, but I'm just saying, I kind of know what I want. Like I'm going like in that direction, like very motivated, very like, and not really ambitious, but I know what I like. I'm not like waiting for someone to make me happy in that way. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be a bit difficult, which I'm not sad about. I'm just saying like, oh, is it harder to date when you've got a tiny house?
Yeah, it's a good question, you know, and I know exactly what you mean. I feel like there's a part of me that, am I going to have to give up this tiny life? Like I really know that I want to live like this, but then you kind of just adjust. And I do find it, I haven't found it challenging. Well, not yet anyway. I think that my experience has been that when I have dated, and it's been a couple, where people have this curiosity of like, oh, you live in a tiny house. That's so cool. You know? And I have had one over here, and it was like actually really cool. But I do know that I guess it's just this extra thing to navigate, because maybe like if you're someone like, say, yourself or myself, I feel like I would love to live this way for a long time. I'm definitely open to, look, if life changes and my circumstances call for me to go back to living in a regular home, okay, like I'm not going to close myself off to that. But the way that I feel now, I like to think that I can do this, and, you know, if I do invite someone else into my life, that I would hope they would be open to something like this. I do love what you said before about, you know, bring their own tiny house. I mean, that would be ultimate, right? Like you meet someone else with a tiny house already, and then you park them right next to each other, right? Like that would be amazing. And then you have your own space and he has his own space. That's ideal, right? And I did actually see, I think it might, again, an episode of Living Big where there was actually a couple over in America where that was their situation. They actually had two tiny houses right next to each other. And I think for the most part, they cooked in hers all the time, but then they sat on his deck all the time. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it was just like really cool. So it does add in a different set of considerations.
Yes.
And I suppose for me, if I just remember not to be so rigid and want to try and control everything and just be like, okay, I want to live this way and just be open to, I suppose, whatever arises. And even if I meet someone and it feels right and they don't have a tiny house or they're not open to it, I guess I'm just going to cross that bridge when it comes to it.
Yes.
But I won't lie and say that it would make things easier if I did meet someone that was into all of that. Of course, that would be amazing, right? Especially if they had their own. So far it hasn't been challenging, but I guess in summary, it just opens up a different set of considerations.
That's true. Yeah. It's just, I think also maybe it's not a tiny house. It's just as you get older, you know, when you're 18, you're very moldable. Like if you're in love, that's enough. But now you're like, well, it's just a bit more complicated than that. I've got more standards or you need to have the same. Now you've got a set of values. Yes. Yeah. Vision, values, and lifestyle. That's like the three things for me that I'm like, oh, if you don't have those in common, then that's going to be really hard. But yeah, you don't have a normal lifestyle. You've got like something different. And again, like if I meet someone that's like, oh, I've never been like in a composting toilet before, that's not going to work. You see, like it's...
Yeah.
I've never met someone like this, but it is like it adds a little bit more of, which is, it's good because you're going to get with the person that's right for you at the end of the day, but it adds a little bit more, as you said, consideration, but still I'm not sad.
definitely. And you're right. It doesn't necessarily mean that like the foundation of it is about the tiny house. It is just this, it's the value system. It's even a worldview, right?
Yeah.
And just wanting to, and lifestyle and health conscious and considerate of the planet and just all these types of things, right? So, yeah, it goes beyond just the tiny home. Yeah. So
it just makes it harder. Yeah. But
I know. Yeah. But maybe it's a good filtering out process too. Who knows?
That's what I think. Yeah. And I wish there was an app that was filtering all that stuff, but I don't think it exists yet. But save some time.
Oh gosh. I had a thought. Is there like a, because I feel like there's dating apps for so many other specialties now. Is there a tiny house dating app?
I don't know.
App?
I wish there was.
There's a business idea. Yeah.
Yeah. Permaculture tiny house, please. Like,
yeah.
You do.
there's a business idea for anyone that, you know, has something sparks in you.
You know, there's like, in New Zealand is this app to try to find things. Like, could do the same for single people in tiny houses.
There you go. Maybe there's another side project, right? That's so funny. Yeah. Oh god, I love that we're talking about this. Yeah.
I'll start this next year.
So good. So Marie, I'd love to hear a little bit more about, like, as we wind up the conversation, but I'd love to hear a little bit more about what you're doing with your carpentry stuff, because I know you're like wanting to help women with woodwork and you've got like your YouTube channel and Instagram page. I was telling you offline that you're so hilarious in the way that you
record
your videos, and it brings out your personality and your humor, and I really appreciate that. But before we just touch on a bit of that, I just wanted to check in about what we're speaking about today with the realities of tiny house living. Is there anything you feel like we haven't covered that might be important for people to hear?
I think now that it's been a few years now, I think there's enough resources online for people to kind of find the answers they need as well. But I'd say, since I talked to my friend who doesn't want to help in the garden and who was really into permaculture, pick your battles as well. Like it's whatever you think it's going to be, it's always going to be a bit harder. Like if you say composting toilet, I've seen it, it's probably really easy, blah, blah, blah. You don't actually see the difficulties that go with it. So just know that whatever you do, it's always going to be a little bit harder. And again, like, just be realistic about your time and what you want to achieve and what you want your life to be like. But yeah, just pick one thing, maybe like, okay, I'm going to have my tiny house and I'm going to have a garden. So try to have all of the other systems. Maybe if you want to be hooked with your house to the grid or things like this, or being off grid, like, just pick something, maybe one or two, and maybe you can just do it as you go as well. But it can be a bit overwhelming to do everything at once. But yeah, again, like, when you go tiny, usually it's because you want to change a bit your lifestyle and do a better job for the environment and things like this. So it is really intense. And life, like, our society has made it so it's easy for us to have life and work every day. So pick the convenient things that you want in your life, and then the other stuff that you think is worth working on, like having your own water and things like this. But yeah, pick your battles would be my advice.
Yeah, pick your battles for sure. Yeah. And it's just that way up of, yes, some things are going to take a bit longer and be less convenient, but it's a really worthwhile trade-off.
Yes.
To live the life that you want to live and create this beautiful life in a tiny home, usually on the land for a lot of people, or however that looks like for you. So yeah, I love that you said that. And do you want to let us know a bit more about just the fun stuff that you're creating online, the videos that you're making? And you did talk about the Shepherd's Hut as well with your friend. So
yeah,
anything you want to share about that?
With my best friend, we saw on Facebook someone in Auckland that was looking for a carpenter and a cabinet maker to build Shepherd's Hut with him. And a few months later, because we both had a job at the time, a few months later we texted him and we were like, oh, do you still need someone? And he was like, no, I have two people, but I don't want to expand. There's heaps of people that want to buy Shepherd's Hut. Do you want to just come to my place? I show you how I build them, and then you guys can do it together. We didn't even think about it. He really suggested it. And he was so kind to share his knowledge, and the way he builds them is very different from a tiny house. He builds them all like a boat thing. So it's a learning curve for me. And I thought it would be really, really cool to also like document it and where we struggle. You always see like people who build tiny houses on YouTube or live the life, like a tiny house life, I guess. And it looks really like happy and nice, and they've done all of those things and everything went well, and you never see the bad stuff. And I was like, oh, maybe it would be fun to show everything that actually doesn't work, because there's so much stuff that actually, yeah, you have to redo or things like this. So it would be more relatable. And also with this same friend, I'm going to say her name, Mathilde, because I'm going to talk about her a lot. Mathilde, who is a cabinet maker, we used to teach woodwork at the woman's shed. It's a bit far from my place. It's a little bit of a drive. So she's still doing this and it's incredible. But I was like, maybe instead of teaching at a place, I could just show online on YouTube or Instagram how to use a drill or how to cut this or to do this. So I thought it would be cooler because it's such an awesome platform. And people would stay maybe 50, you've got 15 seconds or like a little bit less than a minute to just say what you have to say. And I thought like each tool would like probably take less than a minute and it would be a cool format. And if I've got a few women that just send me a comment saying, oh, I'll build a bedside table because I've seen your videos, I'll be so happy. But yeah, that's basically it. Just having fun and trying to teach a few things. And I just love making, it's just so fun to make videos too. I don't know why. You can be creative with so many things those days and you just only need a phone. So why wouldn't you?
Yeah. And I love what you're doing. So where can people, if they want to come and check you out, where's the best place? Or would you want to let us know the Instagram handle and the YouTube as well?
Yeah. I can just say, do you want me to send it to you or do you want me to just say it?
Yeah. You can say it and then I'll also put it in the show notes at tinyhouseconversations.com too. So feel free to say what it is now.
It's just called La Fabrique. If you write my name on Instagram, you would be able to find it. But yeah, it's CK at the end. And yeah, that's it. I don't think I've got anything interesting else. I'm going to try to download TikTok, but I'm not sure about that. I'll let you know. I'm a bit scared. Not my generation anymore.
I know, same. I'm like, oh, God, do I need to go onto another platform? I'm only just doing Instagram and Facebook. Yeah, I don't know. I'll see about that. Yeah. But yeah, maybe we'll stay tuned for that too.
Yeah, let
and
me know
how you go. Yeah, for sure. Oh God, it probably won't happen, but we'll see. Never say never. Marie, thank you so much for your time today. I feel like I could talk to you for hours and hours and hours. And but we got to cut it short. But I also want to say that just what you've done, just from building your tiny house 4 years ago or however long it was, to then seeing your tiny house journey and seeing you go through the carpentry apprenticeship and what you're creating now, it's inspired me a lot, you know. Like I, even though I didn't build my own tiny house and I haven't built things per se, I feel like it's actually sparked some sort of interest in me to want to maybe get better with doing those types of things in the future and get better with creating with my hands, because it's not something that has come naturally to me. Like for me, my creativity has always been writing. That's been something that's just been so strong and natural for me, but using my hands to create is a different way. So, you know, thank you for that inspiration and just thank you for coming back on the show and for your time today.
Thank you so much. If you want to make stuff, you just have to be stubborn.
Yeah, I know. Well, I love that stubbornness. Yeah.
I was stuck in my full-time job and I was just stubborn. I'm like, I don't want to do it. I want to just do what I want. I want to build stuff. So I guess stubborn.
Yeah. Yeah. And you have that drive somehow too, and that sort of resilience and that tenacity to just try and work it out yourself. And it's really beautiful. So yeah, thank you.
Yeah,
for,
it's something
for those
you
words,
learn. Cause, yeah. Definitely something you learn. I didn't have it. I was admiring people that could just teach themselves things. I wasn't one of those. Yeah. I can't just read a book and just figure out how things work. I need someone to teach it to me. But it's a skill I really wanted to have, is being able to teach myself things. And it's just slowly coming up. But like, for example, writing, like you said, that's like so impressive when someone can write something beautiful or speak beautiful English, things like this. So I'm like, we'll have our strengths. But definitely explore whatever you can if you've got the time for it.
We do all have our strengths and our creativity, right? And we all express it in different ways, and that's beautiful. And I think that's the beautiful thing about being human, because even though we're connected, at least the way that I see it, we're connected to something greater, but we're also so unique and we're living our own different stories. And then we've also got this common thing of like, we're all human and we're going through this same life together. Yeah. And it's just sort of being manifested and expressed in different ways. And that's really beautiful. Yeah. And everyone's tiny life is going to look different too, you know? So
that's true. Never compare yourself to someone else.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Well, that's a great way to end the show. So thank you so much again for being here, Marie. And if you're listening to us at home, we'll put, yeah, for sure. If you're listening to us at home, thank you so much for being here with us. I'll put the links that we spoke about today at tinyhouseconversations.com, and make sure you go check out what Marie is doing. You'll be laughing along just like me, I'm sure. And stay tuned every Thursday for new episodes of Tiny House Conversations, and I'll see you next week. Thanks again for listening. And if you enjoyed the conversation today, you found it valuable, and you want to support the podcast, the best way you can do that is to share the love. That way I can keep bringing you more tiny house conversations to help you on your own tiny journey. So here are three ways that you can support the podcast. Number one, if you have a friend or family member that you feel would benefit from hearing these conversations, feel free to share it with them, email them, text them, send them a telegram, do whatever you need to do to share it with them. Number two, if you hit the subscribe button, you'll know exactly when the next episode is live. And number three, if you head on over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening to podcasts and leave a 5-star rating and review. Thank you so much in advance. I appreciate you, and I'll see you in the next episode.